good time for vacations. And so we want to read just two passages of Scripture tonight. One is in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's so familiar that you could probably quote it, but we'll read it together anyway. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or we would say, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And again, we'll start with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Tonight, I'd like to apply that story to the rapture, although some would say that perhaps its real setting might be another period of time, but it certainly does fit in several ways. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian family. And one of the things that I was sure of when I was growing up was that the Bible was true. There was no doubt in my mind that the Bible was true. And one of the main reasons I knew that was because my father was convinced of that. And so my father was a preacher, and he used to preach heaven bright and hell hot. Matter of fact, I got saved one Sunday night because my father had just finished preaching about hell. And when I went home, I'd even led the boy next door to Christ, and I wasn't saved. But I told my neighbor how to get saved, and he accepted Christ, and I wasn't saved. But in Kansas, we have a lot of thunderstorms, a lot of tornadoes, a lot of lightning. And we had a number of, I came from a fairly large family, and so us boys, we'd rotate a position. 3 of us slept in one bed. That's called fellowship. And we were all in one bed, and every night, well, you rotated. And so that means one night out of 3, you got to be by the window. With no air conditioning in Kansas in the summer, you wanted the window. But the trouble was, that particular Sunday night, it was my turn for the window, and that particular Sunday night, there was a great big lightning storm. And I mean, when the lightning was flashing and thunder was crashing, you know what I knew? I knew that God was going to strike me dead. And he should have. Because I was 6 years old and I knew already I was a sinner. And so you know what I did? I said to my brother, I said, hey, how do you get saved? He said, you know how to get saved. I said, yeah, but man, I'm right here in position number 1. The lightning's, I said, you tell me again. He said, nope, I'm not going to do it. He said, if you want to get saved, you go down and ask Dad, but when you come back, you've lost your window. I thought, wow, hate to lose my window. I mean, I wait 3 nights to get a window. But I thought, man, I'd sure hate to go to hell. And so I went down, and that night I accepted Christ, came back. Of course, my window spot was done. But, you know, there were times when I grew up that I had doubts. And usually people don't ever confess to you about doubts, but I was one who had doubts. And you know what I used to do? I used to think, wow, I don't hear any noise downstairs. I wonder if the Lord's come. And I'd walk downstairs, you know, and I'd go in my folks' bedroom, and I was trying to think of an excuse to go in there, and sometimes they'd be out of their bed. I'd say, my heart would just jump. I think, wow, has the Lord come? No one else has probably had that feeling, but I have. Okay, maybe some of you have that grew up in a Christian home, but I'll tell you what, it's a very frightening thing to grow up in a Christian home and to look around and not find anyone there. I'll tell you a story one time. One time some kids at camp, They thought they'd be really smart, and so they decided they would cut chapel. Yeah, they went out to the barn, and they hid, and of course, after chapel was over, next thing on the agenda is swimming, so they thought, you know what, we'll just wait out here until chapel time is over, and then we'll come back, and we'll change for swimming, and no one will ever know that we cut chapel. Well, you might know that during this particular chapel time, they had an emergency evacuation. There was a gas leak or something like that. And so they came to the camp and they said to everyone, okay, everyone get on the bus. We're afraid that the whole camp might blow up. And so everyone got on the bus and the bus left and they were gone. And pretty soon these boys that were hiding out in the barn, well, they said, wow, we don't hear any kids, but chapel's got to be over by now. And so they snuck back, and I mean, every single person in the camp was gone. And you know what? These boys thought that the Lord had come. And I mean, they sat down, they began to weep, they began to cry, they began to confess every sin, some they hadn't even done. And then all of a sudden, one of them said, hey, in the rapture, the bus isn't going to go, is it? The guy says, well, no. He says, well, why is the bus gone? You know, it struck fear in their heart. Well, the stories we've read, I think, are about the Lord coming. In the first one, in John chapter 14, it says that the Lord spoke to his disciples, and he makes this promise. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, did Jesus go? He sure did. And so he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Here's what we know for sure. Jesus will come again. Do you know that this passage in John 14 is very much like a Jewish wedding of Jesus' day? Not so much like the Jewish weddings of our day, but of Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, here's normally what would happen. Let's say that a young man wanted to get married. You know what he'd do? He'd leave his home, and he'd go, let's say, to another village, and there he would look over the young ladies to try to pick out his bride. And finally, he would find a girl that he wanted to marry. And so what he would do, he would go to that girl's father and he would say, I want to marry your daughter. What's the price? What's the dowry? And then they would agree on some price, on some dowry. And then they would drink a cup of wine together and that would seal the contract. From that point on, this girl was considered married to this young man. And then he would leave the village where the girl lived, he would go back to his father's house, and right adjacent to his father's house, he would build a place for he and his new bride to live. In other words, they would just expand the home, they'd just extend the home, and then when the house was done, he would go back to the village. Normally it would be at night, and he would sneak up to where her door would be, or to where her window would be, and he'd simply say this, ready! And you know what she'd say? I mean, if she's a typical bride-to-be, what do you think she'd say? She'd say, oh, not now. Give me 5, 6 more years. Is that what she'd say? I've never met a girl yet who was above the age of 4 that wasn't ready to get married. You know what I mean? I mean, they practice that. You know, they wear towels over their head, and they learn how to walk that funny way down there. Why do they walk like that down the aisleway? Seems like, you know, that's another message, but I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if they're getting cold feet, you know, but sometimes they walk real slow, you know, like kids do to the principal's office. But anyway, he'd yell, ready. And I mean, she'd leave right then. Her job was to be absolutely ready so that when her husband-to-be came and said, ready, she would leave immediately. And they would go back to the father's house and they would be married that very night. And then for the next 7 days, they would be on a honeymoon inside of that room, inside that house that her new husband had built. And at the end of 7 days, finally at the end of 7 days, she would appear with her husband. He would introduce her to all of her friends and all of his friends as his new wife. And then they would have a great wedding ceremony. You see the parallel to the coming of Christ? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus said, listen, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, one house. Do you know that in heaven there's only one house? Hate to break your bubble. Sometimes, you know, when you're driving down the road, you tell your kids, say, why can't we have a big house? Say, oh, you're going to have a big house. No, there's only one house in heaven. It belongs to God. That's good. You don't have to pay taxes on it, see? One house in heaven. It's God's. But in this one house, there's a lot of dwelling places. And so he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So when Jesus, after his death and resurrection, went to heaven, guess what he did? He began working on a room for me and for you, for the whole bride of Christ. Now think about this. Do you know that in one single week, he created everything you see? Not bad for a week's work, would you say? Can you imagine how good our honeymoon cottage is going to look? He's been working on that for 2,000 years. I think it's going to be pretty nice, don't you? And when he gets it done, he's going to come back and he's going to say, ready. What are you going to say? Oh, man, could I just stick around because I want to go to school one more year. I like taking tests. That's what you're going to say? No, if I could just stick around one more week because, you know, my car's not working very well and I want to fix my car. Is that what you're going to say? Man, he's going to say, rah, boom, I'm going to go. Really. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be with him. And the Bible says this, eye has never seen, ear has never heard, it's never even entered into the mind of man, how great the things are that God has reserved for those who love him. You cannot imagine how good heaven's going to be. But our other story is about 10 virgins. And while they were anticipating the coming of the bridegroom, here's what they did. There's five things that occurred. One of them is this. They slumbered and slept. Wow, that reminds you so much of what's taking place in the church today. I mean, every one of us know that Jesus promised that if he left, he would come again. Every one of us know that when he comes back in the clouds, he's going to take those who know him to heaven. But here's the activity. Whether they were wise or foolish, they slumbered and slept. How much work gets done when you're sleeping? I mean, have you ever said, I'm too tired to clean the kitchen tonight? And so you go to bed, and the morning when you wake up, the dishes are done, right? No, really. I mean, you know, you go out there and say, man, I really ought to work on the boat, but I am just so tired. And you come back the next morning, there it is. It's painted. I mean, it's sanded. It's painted. Everything's done. Is that the way it goes? You know, you say, I ought to study for this test at school, but I'll study in the morning. And you wake up and you say, wow, I know the whole chapter by memory. That's how it works, right? What gets done when you're sleeping? Absolutely nothing. And you see, here they know the bridegroom's coming, and it gives them a fit of sleep. Sometimes that's the only time you can get people to sleep. Matter of fact, I heard a story one time that of all the people that went to sleep in Sunday messages were put head to foot, you know what? They'd be a lot more comfortable. No, well, that's, never mind. I shouldn't even told you that. But listen, while they slumbered and slept, the bridegroom came. I mean, can you imagine that? I was mentioning to you how that sometimes as a boy, I'd be afraid. And I remember one time, my brother and I were staying at home. My father was an evangelist. He was gone, and my brother and I were home, and we had a paper out. And so someone called and said, we didn't get our paper. So I went to deliver the paper. When I came back, my brother was there, and I mean, he was in a fit of trembling. I said, what's wrong? He said, wow. He said, I couldn't understand. He said, the television was on. He said, what you were eating was on the table. He said, you were gone. Oh, I said, yeah, I just had to deliver a paper. He said, man, he said, you don't understand. He said, I thought the Lord had come. Well, and he was saved. You see, it brought a doubt. But here's what it says. The bridegroom came and some had no oil. Now, do you know that all 10 of them must have been good people? It talks about them as being virgins. You see, sometimes we have the idea, all right, I go to Sunday school, all right, I go to youth night, all right, I'm not bad. There's a lot of people worse than I am. But you see, unless there's been a time when a person has accepted Christ, then you don't have any oil in your lamp. And you know what? Tonight's a good night to examine. Do you have oil in your lamp? Because you see, when the bridegroom came, the five that were wise, they had oil in their lamp. They had made provision. They had taken care of the matter. But five that were foolish, you know what? They said, hey, could we buy some oil? You know what? You can't get saved any other way than you personally accepting Christ. If there was a way for your parents to get saved for you, you'd already be saved. You know that? And if there's a way that you can be saved by me getting saved for you, I get saved for every single person here. That's how bad I want you to accept Christ. But you've got to do it. Personally, you've got to do it. And then here's what it says. It says, those that were ready went in. You know what? I'm convinced as I study the Bible that the very next thing on God's prophetic program is for the bridegroom to come in the clouds and say, ready. And then the bride, that's the Christians, they're gone. And what's left for those will be the tribulation. And I can guarantee you this. If Jesus were to come right now and you're not saved, and all of a sudden, bang, 90% of this crowd goes and 10% here, you want to know something? Fear will strike right through your heart. You'll run out that door. You'll be shouting people's names. You'll say, how could this have happened to me? And here's the answer. No oil. Furthermore, it says this, that when they went and they got oil, you know what? I think right after the rapture, I think there's going to be a lot of believers too late. Yeah, Thessalonians says too late. It says the door was shut. You know, when Noah went in the ark and God shut the door, there were a lot of people that became believers. Noah! Noah! Let us in! Noah! I will not make fun of you anymore! Noah! The water just kept going higher and higher. And when those people drowned, I'll tell you what, they were committed believers. Too late. And you know what? Some of you, it might be too late. And then the next story is about crowns and rewards. You know what? Those that are faithful to live for Christ, even looking for His appearing, the Bible says there's rewards. Can you imagine a reward that God would give you? Now, I don't know what Rupert had in those envelopes. I bet it was $1,000 in every one of those, don't you think? And and Rupert, probably $2,000 in every one. I'm sure those are good rewards. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes, He says His reward will be with Him. And He's going to reward everyone that's faithful. That's worth working for, isn't it? Do you want to know something? It may be tonight that Jesus comes. It may be tonight that He finishes the honeymoon cottage. And when He does, He's going to come back and get His bride. Oh, I'm excited about that. Hey, do you like to go to a wedding? I do. I like wedding cake. I like wedding punch. I like wedding napkins. I like wedding nuts. I like the wedding celebration. And you know what? Tonight, Jesus may come and we'll all be a wedding in heaven. Are you going to be there? Boy, you don't want to miss this. I hope you won't be one of the foolish ones and not put oil in your lamp when you could be one of the wise ones and be ready when Jesus comes. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the blessed hope that we have that someday soon, Christ will come. If I go, I will come again. What a promise He made us. And we pray, Father, that every one of us might examine, are we wise or are we foolish? We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.